Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
All right, we're going to play a clip by Chuck Baldwin, and this goes back to, I believe it right, about 2017 when Trump just gets into office and the Democratic Party out there is pushing, you know, what they call a gun control measure. It's not. It's confiscation. It's gun confiscation. And the reason that we are going to hold on to our firearms is because I consider Joe Biden my enemy. Joe Biden's my enemy because I'm an American. I'm a Christian first, and I'm an American. And Joe Biden and every single Democrat out there wants to take away my freedoms. They want to take, and if you're a Christian and if you're a patriot in this country, they want to take away all of your freedoms. And they actually want to depopulate. Many of them want to literally take away your life. And so with this, here, this is Chuck Baldwin, and I think he did a pretty good job. Go ahead and take it away, Andy.
Here is my open letter to our legislators, judges, and lawmen pertaining to the potential enactment of the red flag gun confiscation law, SB Senate Bill 7, that is now being discussed in Washington, D.C. An open letter to our legislators, judges, and lawmen. Senator Lindsey Graham has announced that the Senate Judiciary Committee soon will be conducting hearings on Senator Marco Rubio's Senate Bill 7, the Extreme Risk Protection Order and Violence Prohibition Act of 2019, otherwise known as the National Red Flag Gun Confiscation Bill. I know I'm speaking for tens of thousands of my fellow Montanans and tens of millions of my fellow Americans when I say what I'm about to say. Red flag gun confiscation laws violate every principle of liberty upon which our country was founded. There is no due process associated with red flag laws. A judge's order to seize the firearms from an American citizen who has not been accused of a crime, charged with a crime, convicted of a crime, or who never even threatened to commit a crime based on the accusation of a single individual is anything but due process. Our accuser could be a disgruntled employee, a bitter ex-spouse or relative, a vengeful neighbor, an anti-gun liberal, or even an anti-gun policeman. By definition, red flag laws use mere suspicion of what one might do as justification to seize a person's firearms. Tactics such as these have been used in virtually every despotic regime of history. In the name of protecting society, the rights and liberties of individuals were denied. Eventually, these repressive governments included political or religious persuasion as triggering red flags, which led to their disarmament, all in the name of public safety, of course. You know as well as I do that when the rights of one American are abridged, the rights of all Americans are abridged. This is not yet a communist nation where the rights of the state or even the rights of a majority of citizens supersede the rights of the individual. Furthermore, it is a fallacy to suggest that a mental health diagnosis by itself indicates that someone is automatically a threat to himself or others. Dr. Ann Bukacek, a highly respected medical doctor in the community in which I live, recently wrote, quote, "Mental health diagnosis given by physician or other mental health care workers do not predict firearm violence. As a physician for over 30 years who has treated many patients with mental health diagnosis and some autistic spectrum patients, I have not had one of those patients commit an act of gun violence. I did have a patient who bludgeoned a man to death with a blunt object, and that patient carried no mental health diagnosis. Psychopaths with no conscience especially the more intelligent ones, usually escape detection and or a particular diagnosis, close quote. This doctor's examination of the issue reflects reality. Besides, under these red flag laws, exactly who is it that determines that someone is crazy? Is it one judge who bases his or her conclusion on the accusations of just one individual? Is it up to politicians or government bureaucrats to define who is and who is not crazy? There are some people who believe that anyone who would even own a firearm is crazy. Others believe one's political or religious beliefs qualify him as crazy. Heck, we've all read the documentation of various governments, local, state, and federal, that have assigned all kinds of crazy, even dangerous, definitions against people based on their interpretation of Bible prophecy or their association with political candidates such as Congressman Ron Paul or their opposition to politically correct ideologies, etc. Does the judge who issues a warrant to seize a person's firearms under a red flag law provide the accused with an opportunity to defend himself before violating his constitutional and natural rights? No. Does the judge provide an opportunity for a close examination of the accusations against the accused, including investigating the accuser before violating his constitutional and natural rights? No. Does the judge allow the accused to face his accuser before violating his constitutional and natural rights? No. Red flag laws turn the Bill of Rights and the fundamental legal doctrine that a man is innocent until proven guilty completely upside down. Red flag laws are a mockery to every constitutional principle of liberty since the Magna Carta. Seizing a citizen's firearms by force and thereby rendering him defenseless without a crime being committed or even the accusation of a crime being made is old-fashioned tyranny. Such a act presumes a person guilty until proven innocent. Then there is this. After the guns are seized, it could take years for the victim to prove his innocence or competence and have his guns returned. And in what condition would they be when and if returned? Furthermore, will you legislators, judges, and police officers who collaborate to strip an innocent person's ability to defend himself accept any responsibility when the real bad guys take advantage of this person's vulnerability and invade his home and bludgeon or rape or even kill his family? Of course you won't. But mark it down. You will be held accountable and responsible in the eyes of Almighty God and in the eyes of the citizens you have victimized. And are you really going to try and tell us that police officers are more competent and mentally stable than the rest of us? Are you kidding me? The examples of improper, unsafe, careless, and even homicidal acts of cops with guns are ubiquitous. It was an FBI agent who was armed at a nightclub in Denver and then started gyrating and dancing like a madman until his handgun fell on the floor, discharged, and wounded a fellow patron. But no official even questioned this officer's fitness to possess a firearm even after that event took place. Then there's the case of the Dallas police officer who walked into the wrong apartment and shot and killed the man who lived inside. Where was the red flag regarding this officer? And what about the two police officers in St. Louis who used a revolver to play Russian roulette? And one of the two wound up shooting and killing the other one. Why wasn't a red flag raised about these nincompoops? These stories could go on forever. Where are the red flag laws for the policemen and sheriff's deputies in this country? The only difference between them and the rest of us who are being victimized by these draconian red flag laws is that they wear badges and we do not. And the other difference is the vast majority of private citizens who carry firearms are not nearly as stupid and incompetent as the policemen mentioned above. So much for equal justice under the law. It has taken many of us a lifetime of hard work and labor to be able to obtain our gun collections. We have successfully passed FBI background checks, local and state requirements and obligations for responsible gun ownership, yet our guns are going to be confiscated overnight by the word of someone, an anonymous someone at that, who claims we might be unsuitable to own a gun. Again, such an act turns American history and our Bill of Rights upside down. Chris Kobach is a former Secretary of State of Kansas. He's a former professor of constitutional law at UMKC School of Law. He wrote an excellent analysis of the constitutional violations of these red flag laws, and I quote, number one, the seizure of guns without any hearing at all. The laws all contain an ex parte provision that allows the state to temporarily seize a person's guns without even notifying the gun owner or giving him a chance to be heard. This is the quintessential denying of due process. The Fourth Amendment makes clear that a person cannot be denied liberty to exercise one's constitutional right to keep and bear arms without due process of law. This confiscation is temporary, but it can easily lead to long-term or permanent confiscation. Number two, based on the testimony of one unrelated person, the confiscation order can be based on the testimony of only one person claiming that the gun owner poses a risk to the safety of himself or others. The law, proposed in Kansas, deceptively says that it has to be the testimony of a family member. But family member is defined to include former dating partners and anyone who has ever lived with the defendant. So a jilted former boyfriend or girlfriend or even a roommate from years ago could easily set in motion the disarming of a lawful gun owner. Number three, using a very low standard of proof. The standard for obtaining an ex parte order against a gun owner is absurdly low. One only need to show, quote, reasonable cause to believe that the person may pose a risk. That's even lower than the probable cause standard for obtaining a search warrant. In addition, the judge is forced to rush his decision and issue the confiscation order on the same day of the ex parte hearing. Within 2 weeks of the ex parte hearing, a hearing with the gun owner present must occur. The purpose is to put in place a long-term confiscation order. But even at that hearing, the standard of proof is far below the beyond a reasonable doubt standard used in criminal trials. Rather, it need only be shown by a, quote, preponderance of evidence, unquote, that the person poses a risk of injury to self or others. What kind of evidence? Things like the reckless storage of firearms or drinking habits can be considered. If you keep a handgun in the bedside table and drink a beer, you may be in trouble. Number four, shifting the burden of proof to the gun owner. The long-term confiscation order lasts up to a year, but it may be renewed indefinitely. Once it is in place, it becomes very difficult to remove. To have the confiscation order lifted, the gun owner must prove he does not pose a threat to himself or others. Proving a negative is nearly impossible. Adding insult to injury, the bill even authorizes local law enforcement to charge the gun owner a storage fee for confiscating and storing his guns. The implementation of red flag laws at any level is unconscionable and totally unacceptable. And I'm here to warn you that there are millions of Americans who will never submit to such oppression. None of us wants to see acts of violence committed against law enforcement personnel in America. But when law enforcers begin carrying out these draconian red flag laws, they will begin lighting the matches of resistance in the hearts of freedom-loving people in this country like hasn't been seen in over 150 years. We have already heard about Gary Willis, the Maryland man who was killed by police officers in his own home as they attempted to carry out a red flag order to seize his gun. This man had committed no crime. He had not been accused of committing a crime. He was given no hearing and no due process. Mr. Willis did not attempt to harm the officers. He merely resisted their efforts to disarm him, and he was killed on the spot in his own home by police officers who had taken an oath to protect the liberties of this poor innocent man. I assure you, Mr. Willis will not be the last American to resist the attempted confiscation of his firearms. Do you legislators, judges, county sheriffs, chiefs of police, sheriff's deputies, city policemen not realize that red flag laws are tantamount to a declaration of war against the American people? Are you so removed from the laws of nature and nature's God that you cannot see this? Do you not realize that in spite of all of Great Britain's abuses of power, our colonist forebears did not openly rebel against the crown until King George sent troops to Lexington and Concord to confiscate the colonists' firearms? You do understand that, right? And you do understand, do you not, that the blood of the colonists flows in the veins of we Americans? At what point do the American people come to believe that you truly do not wish to honor your oath to the Constitution or behave in a manner that truly honors America's Second Amendment and the heritage of liberty that we all share as Americans? At what point do we Americans lose all respect for our civil magistrates and peace officers? For many Americans, that point will come when policemen bang on their doors at 5 a.m. and attempt to seize their guns. Do you not realize that every single instance of an innocent person being subjected to a red flag gun confiscation order will only magnify and strengthen the resentment and animosity in the hearts of the community against these laws and against the ones who are creating and implementing them? Do you not understand that this is a powder keg that could explode into an all-out rebellion at any time? Do you want that? I don't want that. I don't want that for my wife and me, my children and grandchildren, my friends, or my community. Why would you legislators, judges, and policemen even think about doing such a thing? In the name of all that we hold dear, in the name of the brave men at Lexington, Green, and Concord Bridge, in the name of every American who's given his life in defense of the principles contained in the Declaration of Independence, our Constitution, and our Bill of Rights, including many of our brave police officers and sheriff's deputies, and in the name of the natural laws of our Creator, please stop this madness before you literally tear our communities and our country apart. As a legislator, you must not pass any semblance of a red flag law. As a judge, you must not issue a gun confiscation warrant on the basis of a red flag law. As a sheriff or chief of police, you must not order your officers to confiscate a citizen's guns on the basis of a red flag warrant. And if you are a sheriff's deputy or city policeman, you must not obey an order to confiscate your fellow citizen's guns on the basis of a red flag law. I beg you to realize what you are doing. I beg you to refuse to participate in this madness. I beg you to join your fellow churchmen, clubmen, neighbors, friends, and townsmen and help us turn back this dastardly attempt to transform our constitutional republic into another repressive regime that, in the end, would require the people to tear it down. Again, I beg you to think about what you are doing, about the pain you are causing, about the lives you are ruining, and about the potential harm you are inflicting on our country. Red flag laws are on the wrong side of history, the wrong side of our Constitution, the wrong side of liberty, and on the wrong side of the laws of God.
All right, there you go, folks. And now, Joe, I want to just ask you, just what do you think if just a couple of those teachers at the Robb Elementary School had been carrying guns, if they had been armed when this guy came in? Let's just say of all of the teachers, they would have gone to where they heard the gunshots. Or even if you just had two security guards there, they would have gone to that. Now, but they didn't. Now, here's an article, and this article is by Mike Adams. And it's going to be a little shocking for some people, but I think it's right on. Uvalde massacre was a planned stand-down operation. Law enforcement, they saved their own children while parents were being pepper sprayed and handcuffed. Here, it's now 100% clear, 100% clear that the Uvalde mass shooting was a stand-down operation, meaning law enforcement was deliberately ordered to stand down so that the massacre could take place. The goal, gun control, of course. I absolutely, totally believe that. I believe it 100%.
Well, the headlines on Fox News right now, chief concern, police official who held officers back from Texas school shooting not cooperating with investigation.
Uvalde police stood outside school while parents urged them to go in inside during the shooting. Declares the title
said, "Give me a vest and I'll go."
Of an article, if look, you know, as I was speaking about this in the church, and I said, I don't think there's one man in here. Every man in this church right here, I know that if that would happen, and if Joe, I don't have a bit of a doubt in my mind. If I'd been there, even if I was unarmed, I would have gone in and at least tried to get the drop on that maniac. But you know, and these cops were well armed. That's what they're trained to do. That's what they took an oath to the Constitution. But they're ordered to stand down. Now,
down. Yep.
Go in there. Go in there. Women shouted at officers as the officers stood there and did not go into the school to intervene and prevent the carnage. According to the AP, the gunman was barricaded in a classroom for 40 minutes where he murdered 19 children and two teachers. A father who lost a daughter in the massacre raised the idea of charging in themselves without weapons while the police stood by idly. Let's just rush in because the cops aren't doing anything like they are supposed to, Javier Scavera said. And more could have been done. His daughter Jacqueline Cazares was killed inside. When he heard about the shooting, he raced to the school only to find officers standing outside. We also have a story from the left-wing media outlet MSN declaring Uvalde police officer admits cops saved their own kids from Robb Elementary before stopping shooter. A police officer admitted that the police went inside the school to save their children first rather than stop the shooter. The officer said, there were some police officers' families trying to get their kids out of the school because it was an active shooter situation. The officer continued to talk about the situation while trying to justify the officers that went in to save their children initially. Video showed devastated parents pleading with officers to enter the school as the cries and the screams of the children could be heard inside. This is why, Joe, we played 17 Little Children last week four times.
Yeah.
Because that was a deep state operation, false flag, and so was this. I have no doubts in my mind at all. The whole point behind it was to do what they're doing now is to try to go more after more gun confiscations. They're feeling there's enough dumb people in this country, dumb enough that they don't see it. They don't understand what's happening.
Well, the liberals always use emotion. They never use logic. That's why immediately after something happens, they push the gun control. We've got to get rid of guns while people are, before they've even had a chance to grieve, think. Emotionally grieving people do not think. We all know this. We've been around people who have lost mothers, fathers, you know, children in a car accident, suicides, whatever. Grieving people don't think. Come on. It's common knowledge. And they try to strike when everybody's emotions are raw, and that's why they have to pass these laws in a big, big hurry, because when people stop and think about it, we know we've talked in the past about gun-free zones. Most of the killing and the shootings almost always took place in a gun-free zone. like that one Colorado movie theater. The killer passed two or three movie theaters, and he stopped at the one that had a no concealed carry sign up in front. That's the theater he went in and shot up.
And well, that's the fellow that was just in the New York shooter just recently. He said he was depending on the strict gun laws to help him to be able to kill more people.
Yeah, exactly. And we know that, who was it? Oh, yes. It was high-ranking Democrats who tried to get cops out of schools to, what, appease the Black Lives Matter. Remember that?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
You go clear back. We talked about this. Senator Elizabeth Warren and Chris Murphy, and there was some other, Omar. They were in favor of trying to get the cops out of schools. Cops are the problems. Remember, cops are bad. And it was these Democrats that wanted all the cops out of schools. Now, in Israel, they were having some problems when the terrorists were coming over and trying to blow up their schools. And what did they do? They got grandfathers, and they armed grandfathers who had had military training, and the grandfathers went to a day and protected all the grade schools, kindergartens, whatever they had in Israel, and that put a real quick stop to the attacks on schools because there were men who were willing to die to protect their grandchildren in those schools. And if somebody were seen coming across the school grounds and they didn't stop, they were killed. And all of a sudden, a lot of the school bombings and shootings just stopped. We didn't hear any more about it.
Well, Joe, the Democratic Communist Party, they live off of death. They're like maggots. They're like hyenas. They live off of death. Whether it's abortion, whether it's euthanasia, whether it's kill shots, it's all about death. And here again, in fact, you just had the head of Pfizer come out recently and state that their goal was to have 70% of the depopulation done within the next couple of years. That 70% of the depopulation here in America should be done within the next couple of years. In other words, we're talking about millions and millions of people is their goal, is to kill off. And again, these same people that you're seeing, they're not taking the death shot. They're out there. They're the ones that you're seeing on television. They're taking the placebo. They're taking the saline. And they're counting on the stupidity of the vast numbers of Americans, which is working for them. But now the bad part, Joe, is like our servicemen and that who have had these things forced on them against the law, against Nuremberg Code, and now they're dying. In fact, it's an interesting thing. There's an article here. Why is the U.S. military rationing meals when they have $770 billion budget? What's going on? Well, that's not the right article. The article I was looking for was talking about in the military. They're hushing it up. They're hushing it up about the people dying.
Yeah, well, the suicides takes more military lives than combat.
Oh, yeah, by far.
By far. There's something wrong with our military. In fact, that leads... There's something wrong. These schools, with common sense, could have been protected, could have been set up, and with principals, with a security guard, they could have been set up long ago, but no. The liberals did just the opposite, like I was saying. They wanted to ban police from schools. What they're doing is they're trying to leave the schools open so these crazy people will shoot them up because that helps get them the motion that's needed to confiscate guns, to take guns away from the people so that the people are defenseless against their communist revolution. They're allowing this to happen. We have the sick society, and it started way back when we took God out of school. We took prayer out of school. We took the Bible out of school. And everything in our world started going bad when God was kicked out of school. There was a big article the other day I was reading that started off about, where's the headline? The Texas school shooting. Where is God? He was told to get out of school. He was told to leave. He wasn't welcome. His prayer wasn't welcome. The Pledge of Allegiance wasn't welcome. You know?
All righty, we're coming up to a break, and we will be back right after this with a whole lot more. Alrighty, we're back, and you don't want that to happen to you, folks. You don't want to. We're opening the phone lines. Phone lines are now open at 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673. Let's see if somebody can beat Cliff. Is there anyone out there that can beat Cliff? 888.
They're doing that. Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was just going to finish what I was mentioning about the, you know, kicking God out of school. And what you're not hearing at all from the liberal press is anything about our sick society, the collapse of the family, the collapse in marriage, not having children, the huge amount of drug overdoses and deaths, the highest, the suicide. Right now, suicide is the second leading cause of death of young people 34 and under. We've got, you and I have done shows where we've talked about the sexual addiction, gambling addiction, drug addiction, alcohol addiction, sports betting. I mean, we we did a thing where there were 135 million Americans that had some kind of mental health disorder problem. We have a society that badly needs God, Jesus Christ. The society, when we rejected him as a nation, said we didn't need him in school. All these problems come back to a very simple thing, is the breakup of our society because of the pulpits are not preaching, the people aren't going to church, they're not learning the Word of God.
And, I know, Joe.
This is the judgment.
All righty, Coach Dwayne, you're in the air.
Hey, Coach.
God bless you, Pastor Sanders, and God bless you, Pastor Joe.
Hey, Coach.
Hey, you know.
Good to hear from you.
Thank you, gentlemen. And with all this stuff that's going on in the world, you know, we got this progressive Christianity movement, this false Christianity. Well, I turned around and I tried to send a letter to the editor here in the great state of Ohio to the Gazette in Medina County, which is a population of 176,000. So I wrote what true Christianity was. Well, I didn't get no reply for a week. They didn't print my editorial. So I contacted the chief editor, and I left a voicemail and said, what is it? Is it community hate speech or censorship? Then later that day, went down, and I sent him an email because we're only allowed 250 words, so you got to try to get everything involved in it. I still have not heard back from him. So then I wrote a bigger article to the Epic Times, and the Epic Times contacted me, said that they forwarded to their editing board so it might make the news. And I said all that to say this. We have all this Christianity floating around there with a work system that Jesus really wasn't God. They're attacking the deity. You really don't have to repent anymore. All this stuff coming on. And I wanted to make it perfectly clear that the only way of salvation of a true Christian is, according to you guys, what you stand for, both of you, is you can't embrace homosexuality as sex perversion. You can't embrace abortion because it's murder. It's killing an unborn child. You can't embrace cussing, gambling, lying, stealing, and cheating like all the Democrats. So I've made it perfectly clear that a true Christian needs to repent and trust Jesus, his death, his burial, his resurrection, and the blood. And I want to thank you gentlemen for a wonderful platform that not only gives the truth, but you exalt the most important thing, that Jesus Christ and him alone is the only way we can escape a burning hell. I love you guys.
Well, thanks, Coach. Well, God bless you.
Good.
Yep.
We love having you when you get to join us. It's exciting. It's fun.
And I encourage people to watch the fire because that is a dynamite program that Coach puts on.
I'm going to get off here so everybody else can have a platform because there's not a whole lot of time. But I would tell all of you right now, folks, send your letters to the editors, even if they don't print them, because that's going to be against them at the Day of Judgment, that they hid the truth. And, gentlemen, we need more financial support to support what's right, what's left, because they hate you, they hate us Christians, they hate us conservatives, and they hate our Trump supporters, and we're at war, and we got to draw closer to Jesus. I love you. Good night. God bless.
God bless you, too. I'll tell you what else they hate. They hate our newsletter. They don't like our newsletter at all. And, folks, if you don't get our newsletter, you should. It's free. You can't beat the price. It's free. We ship it out to you. And there's always articles in there that they do not want you to know. And we encourage you to make copies and hand them out. Also, we are temporarily out of the 2,000 mules, but we expect to get a shipment in any day. They want like hotcakes, and I encourage you people that got the 2,000 mules, please show them. Show them in your church. Show them at the library. Show them. You know, this
come
is our
house. Invite your friends, neighbors, family over, you know.
This is how we get around the fake news media. Let's go with John. John, you're in the air.
Yeah, I think that there's something of a contradiction here because I was listening to that Chuck Baldwin strip there, and he was mentioning the corruption within all the repressive forces within the United States government, including the police. And so I don't trust them in our schools, heavily armed as well. And there's real evidence, proven evidence, released by an insider of the National Security Agency, the Super CIA, and it was called the Gladio Crimes of the U.S. Empire. You can look it up, Gladio Crimes of the U.S. Empire. One of them, really shocking stuff that they don't want Americans to know about, was called Operation Northwoods. That was the code name of the Pentagon for its evil plot during the 60s to mass murder Americans, shoot them down in the streets, cause false flag terrorist attacks, and all of it to be blamed on Cuba as a pretext to massively invade Cuba. And in these documents that James Bamford, the insider of the National Security Agency, brought out, he said they could rely on the media to incite a helpful wave of indignation. The key to the success of this evil plot to have the Pentagon kill Americans and blame it all on Cuba to justify an anti-communist invasion of Cuba was the media. They smugly said we can rely on.
Oh yeah, yeah. They can. They always. Again, the media is owned by China, and they're owned by the Communist Party. So I mean, these people that look like you, look like me, they sit there. They stare in the camera. Sometimes you'll run out, and you know they'll tell you. You know, I don't really believe all that we say, but we have to. We get fired. You know, that's our job. But I got to move on. Thanks for calling. Let's go to Cliff. Cliff, you're in the air.
Yeah, hello, guys. I just want to go to Isaiah chapter 27, verses 12 and 13, where it's talking about one by one. I would ask you if that seems to talk about individual responsibility. You know, you could say I'm a staffer for Joe Biden, but are you individually responsible for being there? How do you see that? That's kind of obscure.
Did you say Isaiah chapter 27? What verse?
12 and 13.
Okay. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall beat off from the channel, the river, into the stream of Egypt, and you shall be gathered one by one, you children of Israel. And it shall come to pass in that day that the great trumpet shall be blown, and they shall come up with which were ready to perish in the land of Assyria, and the outcast in the land of Egypt, and shall worship the Lord in the holy mount. Well, here, God's purpose in judging, what he's talking about the earth is not vengeance, but purging. He wants to purge. He wants to correct his people. He wants to bring his people back to him. But God, when God punishes his people, he does it for our good. Okay, but for those that the wicked, those that completely refuse him, he does it. Actually, in a sense, he does it for their good too, because the more time you leave them to do more wickedness, the greater their punishment's going to be in the lake of fire. And he's talking about coming one by one. In other words, how do you get saved? How do people get saved?
One by one. Well,
yeah.
27 is all about the assurance of Israel's deliverance. So it's a deliverance, and when it goes one by one, it means deliverance is a individual thing.
Yep.
Right,
all righty.
Right.
Yeah, we're kind of really short on time tonight.
Yeah, okay. All right. Bye.
Well, thanks, Cliff. All right. All right. Jack, you're in the air.
So there's been a lot of troubling things about the school shooting. Many different stories. But one of the things that trouble me is the state of journalism today, that there's been no questions about getting to see the police body cam footage. There's no mention of it. The same with the security footage from the school, inside the hallway, inside the classrooms. The problem with the state of security cameras today is it's after the fact. They review it the next day. But there's a new technology by Amazon. It's called Blink. And it's many homeowners have it now. And I could envision outfitting all the schools with this technology where you get to see in real time the video. And you could have a link to the police station if there's an emergency. If there's a shooter on site, the police department can hook up their video link to the school, see what's going on in real time. There's also two-way communication. You'd be able to communicate with the teachers and the principals in real time. And I suppose you could also have this technology for police body cam footage. But if that footage from, I don't even know if the police had body cams. I don't know what the deal
is. Well, I'm sure they did, but here's the point. They were ordered to stand down. Look, it doesn't take a genius to understand that they were actually there 78 minutes, but for 40 minutes while this guy's killing the police standing outside. Now, look, okay, there's you got to be a total idiot not to understand that they had orders to stand down now.
Right.
And the governor there of Texas is furious that he was being lied to after he comes out for 2 days and give all the acclimate to these police officers thinking that they had gone in early and finding out they stood out there while they heard gunshots while the kids were calling on their cell phone begging them to come and save them. This, again, was a false flag.
It seems like these orders were coming from different directions. If we had the police body cam footage, we'd be able to hear what they were saying to each other, who actually gave the order. Now, I'm thinking it's...
We don't have it. They have it. We don't have it.
Well, but the journalists don't even ask for it, and it's not being offered by the police.
They're not being offered by the police for obvious reasons. Oh yeah, but they're trying to get it. Even our enemies are trying to get that.
But are you saying that the stand down order? Are you saying that this came from the federal level?
Yeah. Why? I absolutely believe that. I believe that.
You know, I think I think you're right because I don't believe in coincidence. Look what Trudeau is doing in Canada.
Right.
I mean, he
was confiscating guns.
The only thing
guns.
He has to do is gun confiscation, but this new order does everything else. He's going after the handguns, and I think he's giving cover to our Congress to do something very draconian in response to this shooting. I did want to ask you, the speech that you played, the about 20-minute speech, who was that gave that speech?
That was Pastor Chuck Baldwin.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
That was. And guess what Trudeau was doing?
That sounded like something our founding fathers would have said. That was very elegant.
Yeah.
Very good. The Trudeau was doing something besides wanting to confiscate guns. He's also making, I think it was, cocaine legal in Canada. So he's going to make drug use legal and confiscate guns. The Canadians have no idea what's getting ready to happen to them.
No, they don't, but they're precipitating that they're going to be a civil war. They're precipitating that we are not going to sit back because we know that they're going to try to steal the election in November.
Okay.
We know that.
There's a revolution going on.
The beginning of COVID, that they told us you weren't essential, you couldn't go to work, you can't go to church, you can't go to the beach. Don't you think that mentality is going to just comply and say, go ahead, take my guns?
Well, yeah, but most of those people don't even have guns, okay? The ones that what's going to happen is you're going to have somebody who's going to stand up. Like Schultz and Leeson, when he wrote in his book about how when the KGB would come out and they would just come out and people wouldn't resist, one day they came out into the square and they went and they grabbed a woman and she fought back. She started screaming and kicking. And some of the people saw that you could fight back, and they picked up shovels and rakes, and they went after the KGB. And that was the start of the fall of communism in there, when they realized, people realized that they could fight back. And so that'll happen here now. And again, our enemies are not Chinese, they're not Russian, they're Democrats. The enemies here are Democrats. And many of the Democrats feel that they're held captive by their own party. They're afraid if they were to actually say what they feel, then Nasty Pelosi, AOC, and all of these screaming bad cheese would come screaming at them, and old Jessica Waters would jump out and scare them at the gas station.
Well, it's worse than that. The liberals don't play fair. They'd have people lose jobs and not get into certain colleges, and
yeah,
you know, there'd be a lot of repercussions.
Well, so I'll leave you with this. Whether it's the Taliban or whether it's the Ukrainians, you see the type of weapons they needed to resist. Whether
I hear you.
The United States and Afghanistan are resisting the Russians in Ukraine. And I'm saying that Americans are going to need heavy weapons if you think you're going to resist the federal government.
I hear you. We're out of time for tonight. And, Joe, there's a whole lot of veterans out there that know how to make those heavy weapons, huh? And so
know how to use them. I was just thinking one thing. Congress has a less than 20% approval rating. I think it's down to 19%. And yet 90% of the incumbents get reelected.
And you know what, Joe? Okay, what's the only thing that's going to matter to all of us? All of this stuff is going to be over someday very quickly. And, I mean, it's coming to a head. Yeah. And, again, folks, many people out there listening tonight to us right now tonight have no intentions of dying, but they will. They won't be here tomorrow. You don't want to be one of them. You really don't. And so this is why we wait to the end of the program, because the last thing we want you to hear and remember is that many people are going to close their eyes tonight, but they're not going to awaken tomorrow. And because it's their time, it's not their call. God decides when we leave this ball of dirt called Earth. And so the only good thing happened about that Robe School is those children that died, those innocent children that died, go right to be with the Lord. But you know what? Once you become at the age of accountability, then that no longer applies. You have to be born again. You have to have repented of your sins. You have had to call upon the name of the Lord. And so, folks, have you done that? If you're listening to me out there tonight, and you say, well, you know, I did that. I did that. Sometimes I did that 2-3 times. I got baptized and everything. Well, what are you doing? How have you changed? I really haven't changed. I still go out to the bars and that. Well, then you're not saved. It never took. You didn't mean it. And you're in real danger. You're walking over a lake of fire on a tightrope. And what you need to do is you need to make your salvation sure. There's nothing ever that will mean as much to you. And you need to do it tonight. You need to do it tonight because you might not have tomorrow. And God's Word, the Bible, doesn't stutter. It tells you very clearly how to do it. It's not a difficult thing to do. He tells you that repentance is necessary for salvation. Repentance is absolutely necessary. And so you pray to the Father. You asked for forgiveness. You pray to the Father. You ask for forgiveness of your sins. Then you ask the Lord Jesus to be the Lord of your life, all of your life. All of your life, without any reservations. He says he's got to be first. God's got to be first. Remember what Jesus said? Unless you come before mother or father, you have to put him first. Put him first in your life, and you will become a new creature. You will become a born-again believer, and you will be changed, and folks, an heir of the kingdom, and you will be indwelt with the Holy Spirit. How much time do I have? And so, folks, you have got God's word on that. No one ever has ever regretted receiving eternal life. You won't either. So you got to get it done tonight. I would do that tonight. We are out of time for tonight, so as we do every night at this time, we say good night, God bless, and always, always
keep
fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.